So let's make a haschala. Let's open up the Malach of Tochen. We began this week to get into the sugyas and to get into some of the tour in the Shulchan Aruch. So let's put some of the pieces together, and then we'll continue to move forward in the coming week. The Tochen appears in the Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel. It's one of the Lamatas Malachas. Specifically as part of the Sidur, the Pas. The process takes you from Harishon, Zriya, all the way to Afia or Bishul. And there's this mysterious and brief Gemara about Tochen that appears here in Ayin Dalam Beis, Rav Papa and Rav Menashe. Haiman de Parm Silka Chai Mishim Tochen. That's the Girsa on Ayin Dalam Beis. That it's an Isser Doraisa of Tochen to be Parim Silka, and it's a Daraisa of Tochen to be Salas Silti. To be Salas Silti. So Salas Silti means to break wood into very small pieces. It sounds like you're making tinder or kindling. That's what Rashi sounds like he's talking about. You're breaking into very small pieces so you can easily start a fire. So that's a violation of Tochen. And if you're Parim Silka, so that's a violation of Tochen. So what's Parim Silka? So Rashi says, Rashi makes the point, for those who have learned Chulin, the word is Parim and not Paris. This is not Prisa, which would be larger pieces. This is Parim, which is to make very small pieces. So you're dicing vegetables, Yichayim Mishim Tochen. So you have this mysterious Tosfos. This mysterious toast is the top of the Amud. The Dafka Basilka Shayach Trina Aval Shara Ochlim Jari. It's only got to figure out what the accurate translation of silka is, whether it's radishes or beets or some related vegetable. But the toast says that's the only one. If you dice silka, so then there's a violation of Tochen. But if it was other foods, it would not be a violation of Tochen. That's very, very mysterious. The simple reading of Tosfos, it sounds as though it's like that one min. It's worth thinking, one of these, different angle on thinking about Hekef of Mitzvahs, to ask yourself, how many Dinim Daraisa depend on one min in particular? There are several. If you were to ask yourself, how many Dinim Daraisa depend on one min of behemoth tameh in particular, there probably are two. Petach hamar is taka only hamar. Esnan kalav, mechir kalav rather, is davka kalav. Generally, we don't have such specificity. Arba minim is davka, though those particular minim. But how are you supposed to make sense of this? Davka silka. So what does that mean? What does it mean? So if you start to look around a little bit, so the Tosfos of Rashi has a comment, and the Trumas Hadeshin has a comment, the Beis Yosef quotes. So Sarash says, the only silka because it's darker bekach. The Beis Yosef quotes from Trumas Hadeshin that it's something that's not necha b'li chituch. This is something not just where it's normal to dice it, but you wouldn't eat it. It's a tough vegetable that you would not eat without dicing. Shavuya uchlo, this is mamish a critical step. It's not just that you're dicing cucumbers to make Israeli salad instead of eating cucumbers in larger chunks. It's this is a tchina that's absolutely critical. So the Trumas Hadeshin sounds, you think about the concept of Trumas Hadeshin, that probably goes back to the Or Zeruah we talked about the other week. I mean, in the Or Zeruah, and explaining why Hotsa'a is a Malacha Gerua, why Hotsa'a, Tosfos says, I would have had a Havamina that even though they did Hotsa'a in the Mishkan, I would have thought that's not one of the Lamatas Malachas. And we spoke about this in the first Chaburah, the Or Zeruah. Tosfos says it's a Malacha Gerua. It's a weak Malacha, so you need a Pasuk, separate Pasuk, to be Mechadesh, or to be Megala, rather. That Hotsah is also one of the Malachas. Now, Tosan explained why, or Zeruah explained because you're not really making such a difference to the Chefetz. What are you changing? You're not really being mecharish anything in the chayfetz, and that's what malacha is. Malacha is a creative output, the creative change, the creative contribution that you're making to the item. You're changing in some way. So as it says, carrying from place A to place B, it's the same chayfetz, just in a different location. So that I would have thought that. I would have thought that it's not really a malacha. They also breathed in the Mishkan. They also ate food in the Mishkan. They also communicated in the Mishkan. Not every single activity did in the Mishkan is a malacha. It's only malachas they did in the Mishkan. Arasa. Malacha means, as the Magen Mishnah points out in Perek Zayin, malacha means a creative impact. The chiddush is even the impact of recontextualizing something. It's the same item, but it's a little bit, it's a different item in a new context. That even that slight difference is also considered to be a malacha. That's the chiddush of the pasuk in Perek Hazor. So perhaps the Shmuel Hadeshin is thinking something similar. That stam, you take a cucumber and you dice it, it's still cucumber. How much did you change it already? If you made it edible. You couldn't eat this vegetable until you cut into very small pieces. So that may be part of the sara. That is true for wheat and barley as well. That is true for wheat and barley as well. There's no way you're making bread without milling the wheat into powder, into flour. So that's one approach. That's the approach of Tosus. Either it's the question of darka bakach, the Tosa Rosh, that we mean silka as opposed to who dices apples. You know, dice an apple, that's strange. Or we mean a higher standard, the Terms of Deshin is putting forward that it has to be mission critical. It has to be that this dicing is in not just, you know, making a minor change, changing the texture, but it's enabling the food to be edible. That is that's the approach of Tosas. There are at least two other approaches. Yeah.
For the Trumas addition, why would we need to have another malacha for making food edible if you already have something like Bishul?
Bishul means making food edible through heat and through the chemical changes that happen as a result of heat. But it's not the only malacha that has to do with making food edible. That's just one particular way of making food edible. You are correct. I think it's an important point that we'll come to Blinetta later in the year when we move to Melechas Bishul. The Rambam in particular, even more than other Rishonim, does highlight that the Hagdar of Bishul is really making food edible. Not just changing it by heating, but through heat and making it edible. So much so, the Rambam appears to say, it's a big Machlokas Achronim, if the Rambam actually meant this or not, the simple reading the Rambam, the beginning of Perek Tes, Hilchos Shabbos, is that if you bake an apple, it's not a violation of Bishul Dreis. Asumi Rabbanan, certainly, but it's simple reading the Rambam. Many Acharim dispute this, but the simple reading the Rambam is that the concept, the category that appears in a Drabbanan context in Bishul Akum, a Nechel Kamos Shehu Chai, if something's already edible raw, so if the Nachri cooks it, doesn't create an Issa Drabbanan of Bishul Akum. So the Rambam seems to say something similar on level of Daraisa, but Bishul Bishalos. That's not cooking. Cooking doesn't just mean you change it through heat. Cooking means you made it edible. And then you begin to understand, well, why it is that reheating something, Bishul Akher Bishul, that's not Bishul. I'm not fundamentally changing it, I'm just warming it up. So it may be a similar type of Svara here also. Again, it's not the same thing. Here it's making something edible or moving something towards edibility by breaking down to smaller pieces. The Bishul is making something edible through the endothermic reactions that you get when you put food on top of fire. So, okay, it's a similar concept, but a different application, a different malacha. So those are the ways of looking at Tosas. It really gets you thinking, both Tosas and Rosh and Shmuel Hadeshin obviously are assuming that you're not going to take Tosas literally and say mamish means only silka. This is not the mechir kelev. This is not the pertach hamar. We don't mean that this is the din that only applies to that one min. We mean that the silka is a paradigm of one particular category, as opposed to other foods as opposed to other foods that don't fall within that category, which already opens things up a little more. It should be noted, there are at least two other ways of understanding the what Parim Silka means. Or at least two other ways two or three other ways to diverge from Tosfos. The Tosfos on the Kuf Yudal, Rav Akiva Eiger sends you to the Tosfos on Kuf Yudal. The second round of the Masoros HaShas sends you to the Tosfos Kuf Yudal. Tosfos Kuf Yudal seems to have a different approach. That there is a limitation on Parim Silka. Parim Silka isn't the Gemara is saying Parim Silka to talk about one particular type of scenario, but the point isn't so much the Silka as much as the Parim. And Tosa seems to say that when the Gemara in Kuf Yudal it says that Kenivas Yerek is forbidden on Yom Kippur Shecholias B'Shabbos, but not on a regular Yom Kippur. Which means that it's not an Isra Malacha, otherwise you wouldn't really care that it's both Yom Kippur and Shabbos or not. Because the same Lamed Tzitzis Malacha is applied to Yom Kippur and Shabbos independently. So you're saying that the Knivas Yerek is Dafka, Yom Kippur Shechalias B'Shabbos, obviously we're saying as the Gemara itself goes on to say, that whatever Knivas Yerek is, it's not a Malacha. It's not a Malacha. And Tosfos makes that point. And Tosfos tries to work this out. Why talk is Kenivas Yerek not a Malacha? Why is Kenivas Yerek not a Malacha? Isn't that the same as Parim Silka? So Tosfos and Ayin Dal probably say we're talking about a different type of Yerek. We're not talking about Silka. But Tosfos and Kuf Yudal understands it's not a question of the object, the Chefta Shel Malacha, it's a question of the Masa. Kaniva means something larger. Kaniva means that you're chunking it, as opposed to parim, which means that you're dicing it. It's only dak, which is usher. But if you cut something into larger pieces, take an apple and slice an apple for a kid to eat, is not a problem whatsoever. The Rashba thinks Bachal is no issue. The Rashba in Kuf Yudal says Kaniva doesn't think it means tochin. Maybe the word Kaniva means to rinse it. It's something totally unrelated. But even if you say that Kaniva means to cut it, that seems to be perhaps the Machlok between Tosis on Kuf Yudal and Tosis on Ayin Dalit. Again, whether Parm Silka is limited to some subset of Ochlin, and that's the Chiluk, presumably, that the Ayin Dalet Parim Silka is Chayiv because it's Silka, and here it's some other Yerek, or the way Tosfos and Kuf Yudal understands that the differentiation is between not between two different targets, but between two different Masim. So in that second sheet, so Tosfos and Kuf Yudal obviously lines up with the Rambam, because the Rambam does understand that that we differentiate between Dak and not. The Rambam says it very clearly, that Chotech Yerek is Asher Davka if it's Dak. And then you have the third approach. You have a third approach and a fourth approach to Parim Silka. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger tells you to look at Rashi later, Kuf Chav Ches. Interesting Rashi. Rashi quotes our Gemara with a significant girsa change. Because Rashi and Kuf Chav Ches quotes this Gemara as being dummy. Dami l'tochin. Parim Silka is dami l'tochin. Parim Silka is not actually tochin. So that's a third way to resolve the stira between Ayin Dalad and Kuf Yudalad. Kinivas Yerek and Parim Silka are the same thing. They're Asim and Drabban and then Asim and Atara. And then finally, a fourth solution to the stira between Ayin Dalad and Kuf Yudalad lies in the alternative approach of Rebbeinu Hananel. You all saw the Rush here, a quote of Rebbeinu Hananel. But we have Rabbeinu Chananel. We have Rabbeinu Chananel on the side of the Omer. So Rabbeinu Chananel understands that the Parim Silka, we're not talking about food at all. The Parim Silka has to do with, as the Rush says, the Rush thinks it's a shock. Rush is shocked. How could Rashi say that cutting up food into small pieces is tochen? How are you tochen? Sorry, no pun intended. But how could it be if I pronounce my ches and chaf differently or my taf and tes differently, they would have been clearer. How could it be, Rashi says, cutting food into small pieces? What, the Torah forbids you to eat with a fork and knife? Interesting assumption. But Lamaser Ben Achweh Rechal on the side of the Yamad, Rechal says that there Parim Silka and Salasilti, both of them are powdering. It says Parim Silka doesn't mean that you're cutting dak dak, it means that you're turning to powder. It says salasilti also doesn't mean, as Rashi said, that that you're processing wood into smaller pieces, into twigs, into tinder, into kindling. It means that you're making what's it called? You're making sawdust. You're making powder. Or as he goes on to explain, when you start to strip apart a palm tree, so you have certain parts that will release powder. So that's the approach of Rabbeinu Chananel. So the Rush is very taken by that. As an aside, if you look at the Karbon Asano starts to ask kashas on the Rush. I think it's pretty clear that we know the Karbon Asano did not have Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel printed the Vilna Shas for the first time. And the Rush had Rabbeinu Chananel, but Karbon Asano, a couple centuries later, did not. Karbon Asano seems to have been looking at the Rif, assuming that Chananel is the same thing. If you look at the Karbon Asano's kashas on the Rush, I think you'll see that it's driven by assuming that the Minchan and the Rif are the same. So I think that's if you look in, we were Zocha, Klal Yisrael has been Zocha for the last 100 plus years, thanks to the Vilna printers. That Minchan, I think it's Misalik. Actually, looking at Minchan, I think it's Misalik, the Karbon Asano's Kashas on the Rush. So let's re-encapsulate what we have. We do have a Gemara in Daf Ayin Dalad. Parim Silka is a problem of Tochen. Let's leave it as that for now. Parim Silka is a problem of Tochen. At the same time, our gear says Parim Silka is Chaymishim Tochen. At the same time, you have a Gemara on Kuf Yudalid that Kenivas Yerek is not an Issa D'Oraisa. Kenivas Yerek, as Tosis points out, even though we're quoting a Drasha, this Drasha is clearly not Smachta, because I'm not saying it's actually a Malacha. If it was a Malacha, he wouldn't care whether it's Yom Kippur and Shabbos, both or not. It wouldn't matter. So how do you understand that Parim Silka is Chaymishim Tochen? And on the other hand, the Kenivas Yerek is merely an Isser Derabanan. So, on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, Shechali is B'Shabbos. So we seem to have four different Terutzim in Rishonim. Not all of them are phrased as Terutzim to the Kasha. Four different ideas put forward in Rishonim that each can serve as a Yishuv to the Kasha. Number one, Tosas and Ayin Dalad. This may be what's driving Tosas and Ayin Dalad. Tosas and Ayin Dalad doesn't really explain why was he mechalik. The Tosas and Ayin Dalad thinks it's dafka silka. Parim silka is only silka, not shar ochel. So again, that's one way of solving the problem. It's two different silkas, the chefs shal malacha. Other yerek is not. And again, Tosas and Rosh has one approach to why that silka is the example of a species that is usually diced, and Torah Sadeshin says even further that it's a species that needs dicing for edibility. And then you have the Tosin Kuf Yudalid, who differentiates the two Gemaras not in terms of the Chafta Shal Malacha, but in terms of the quality of the Maisa, the difference between dicing and chunking. And then you have perhaps Rashi and Kuf Chavches might be a third answer to the Kasha. There's no steer at all, because the Gemara Ayin Dalad didn't really mean Issa D'Oraisa either. And then finally, you have the Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rosh, who say, B'chol, Parim Silka, not like Rashi Kuf Chavches, Parim Silka isn't Chayiv either, but the Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rosh would say, Parim Silka has nothing to do with the Kenivas Yerek. Parim Silka is not about chopping, it's about powdering, unrelated. So those are four different approaches. halacha lamasa, we do accept the approach of Tosis and Kuf Yudal. As I said, Tosis and Kuf Yudal is aligned with the Rambam, and that's you open up Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch does quote that line from the Rambam. The Feirush, a dak is a problem. Dafka dak. That's Shin Chaf Aleph. Here, most of Seifim Zayin through Yud Beis and Shin Chaf Aleph of Halachas of Tochein. That's the Shulchan Aruch. It's a few bays. So clearly rejecting Rashi. This is Chai Mishim Tochin. Clearly quoting the Rambam. And it sounds like a rejection of, particularly together with the Rama. It sounds like a rejection of Tosis Nine Dalit, but an embrace of Tosis and Kuf Yudalit, and a rejection of the Rush as well. Right, the Rush said, based on Mechana, Hayitachin, Ochel Dak, how could that be Asir? No. That Taka is Asir. Okay, so that's the first major issue. Is how you understand Tosis and the four approaches to resolving Ayin Dalet and Kuf Yud Dalet. Yeah.
How does Rashi understand what the Melachat Tochen is?
It's a good question. So it's a little hard. We don't have a lot to go on.
He agrees. It's in the Mishnah.
Yeah, for sure there is a Melacha Daraisa of Tochen. It's just that Parim Silka is not a Daraisa. Why? I don't know. So it could be maybe he accepts the Savara of the Rush also. That Ochel Dak, how could it be that that's a Melacha Daraisa? But instead of he may be interpreting the Gemara Ayin Dal differently, but based on the same rationale. It's hard to know. It's hard to, we don't have a lot to go on. He said that word, he says, Dami Latochein. It's hard to know. One other case that we have several days we want to talk about for now, is the a scenario that captured the imagination of many Rishonim. To us, it seems quaint, but if you're a farmer, especially a farmer in pre-modern times, this was halacha lemaisa every single Shabbos. And the Ran, you look in the Ran, he says, how do you feed the chickens? If you walk around the Heights, sometimes you see there are people, not just in the Heights, but in the Heights, it's perhaps an even more common taste than other parts of New York City. Some people, as I said, like to feed the pigeons. Sometimes you have toss a bag of rice, and all the pigeons come and they're tied to other things, feeding the pigeons. So feeding the pigeons is aser on for a Jew to do on Shabbos, because you're not allowed to feed wildlife on Shabbos. It's ein mizonos on alecha. But if you own animals, they're mizonos on alecha, so then you are allowed and obligated to feed your animals even on Shabbos. So not wild chickens that come and go. Not wild pigeons that come and go. If I own, I'm a farmer. I own chickens. I have a good friend who has chickens in upstate New York, in Sullivan County. So you got to feed the chickens every day of the week. So, well, what do you feed the chickens? So nowadays we have a lot more options. But it sounds like B'tkufas HaRishonim, many farmers did not have as many options. The easy option is take a loaf of bread and crumble it up and toss it to the chickens. Fine. So the question is, do you have to do that before Shabbos? You have to rip the toilet paper, rip the paper towels before Shabbos. So open the containers before Shabbos. So crumble the bread for the chickens before Shabbos. Do you have to? Do you not have to? So the Ran says, Ran presents it as a machlokas only over why, but no machlokas over the din. Ran presents mutter for one of two reasons, either or. Right, the Ran says that the tshuvas are, the Rashba writes in the tshuva, it's, I believe, Chelek Dalet Siman Ayin Hey, Rashba writes in the tshuva, it's mutter because tochen is mutter la'alter. You're crumbling the bread and you're throwing it to the chickens, so it's tochen for immediate use. the previous Amud Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph in the Sugya of Borer. So as you know, the Gemara raises Borer Le'alter is one of the factors in determining whether a particular case of Borer is Mutter Asa. So the Rashba seems to understand that that's not unique to, but the Gemara mentions by Borer, but it may be relevant to certain other Malachos also. So he says he has a right. Rishalmi, among his rayas, that the Rashba writes that Tochen Le'alter is mutter. And then the Ran at the end says the Sefer HaMitzvah, and it's a reference to the Smag. The Smag held as mutter, but for a different reason, because Ein Tochen Acher Tochen. Ein Tochen Acher Tochen. And then if you look at Shulta Giborim, Shulta Giborim says not so fast. There's a third approach, and that's the approach of the Rebbe Lezmer Mitz and the Sefer Yireim. Rebbe Lezmer Mitz is one of the very, very early German Bali Atosos. I believe that he was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. Not sure. Maybe a Talmud of the Re. I think it was a contemporary Re Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. So the Rebbe Lezmer Mitz and the Sefer Yireim, the Re'im, sometimes referred to as the Re'im, Rosh Tevis of Rebbe Lezmer Mitz, or as the Sefer Yireim. I'm not sure if the pun is intended or not. But Rebbe Lezmer Mitz, the Sefer Yireim, says he doesn't accept either Svara, and he thinks it's Taka Aser. So if you ask Rebbe Lezmer Mitz crumbled in Rebbe Lezmer Mitz's home, they probably crumbled the bread in Erev Shabbos afternoon. Instead, they didn't have paper towels. So that's what they did for the Erev Shabbos preparation. So that's the 3 days in terms of the Pirur Lechem. It's really double machlokas. And one machlokas is whether there's a heter of La'alter, and the other machlokas is whether the heter of Tochen Acher Tochen. So I understand Tochen Acher Tochen, so the Pashtus is, and they quote his name, the Chazon Ish, and maybe other ways of understanding it. The Pashtus is, ain't Tochen Acher Tochen. Bishul Acher Bishul means I have the food. The first time I put the chicken in the fire, in the oven, they went from raw to cooked. And now it's just going to go from cooked cold to cooked warm. Not really cooking it. So how do you understand ain't tochen acher tochen? So it does. Let's just be. It's not exactly the same. Exactly the same would mean you take flour and regrind it. And then the Gemara says in Perek HaNizak in the Gittin, in the Sugyas of the Churban, it comes to Bar Kamsa, kimcha tchina tochen. The emperor comes to destroy Beis Hamikdash. It was already, he was grinding ground flour. The kernels were already ground. He wasn't doing anything. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already decided Beis Hamikdash was the Nacharav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already taken his spiritual protection. He was doing Titus was doing the easy part. That's what the Gemara says. So that image, Kimcha Tchina Tachan, that's obviously not what we mean. That would be the literal parallel to Im Bishul Achar Bishul. That's obviously not what we mean here. What we mean here is something a little bit more nuanced, which is that it was, how is this already, where was the first tchina? The first tchina means I had, this bread is already tochen. In what sense? I mean, I had kernels and I ground them into flour. And then, I don't just regrind them, it's not like regrinding the ketores, but instead, what it means, then I did lisha nafia, I created a larger unit, and now I'm breaking that down again. So the Rambam does tell us that the definition of tochen, the essence of tochen, is taking a large unit and breaking down into much smaller pieces. Again, machlokas before, how small? And how significant does that change in size have to be? But that's the definition of tochen. So I would have thought, that's right, you have a big piece of bread, you break it down into crumbs, so that's tochen. Why? So the Sefer HaMitzvah, the Smag, says, ain't tochen acher tochen, meaning, presumably, why not? It's not like ain't bishul acher bishul. It is back to being a large unit again. As a matter of fact, when we get to bishul acher bishul, we'll see, some understand, that that's the chiluk between food and water. If the definition of water, the Rambam says, is heating water, so if it gets cold, I can reheat it. That's meaningful. I can't recook the food. It's already cooked. It doesn't go back to being raw. But here, by tochein, it did go back to being a big... I had a whole kernel. I've turned it into flour. But now it's back to being a whole loaf of bread. So I have a guf echad. I have my one item, and I'm going to grind it down. So what does that mean in Torah Chanchetov?
It's not back to being a kernel. It's still a flour-based thing.
Yes. Okay, now it's a new...
So the tchina was turning it from a kernel into flour, and now it's still flour. It's just a different form of flour.
Okay, but Zvaita, I have a guf, but now I have a new guf echad that I'm breaking down to component parts. So forget about the kernels. Now I have a loaf of bread. So what's wrong with me being tochen a loaf of bread? Elamai. So there are different. So I think the way to say it with the Chazon Ish, there could be other variations also, is that. But along the lines of what you were saying, tchina is only when you're breaking down the kernel. I mean, tchina is only when you're breaking down. If tchina means to take a large item and break it into little bits, how was the little bits originally attached? So to take a natural item where the bits are attached naturally and to break that down, to break down the natural chibur, that's tochen. But here you're breaking down a synthetic. The point of the intolchen achatochen, that's a synthetic chibur. In other words, the fact that the kernel was a single unit, that's from nature. The fact that the loaf of bread is a single unit, that all those bits of flour cohere as a single piece that hangs together, that's an artificial synthetic connection that the human beings made. So that's not tochen. Tochen is when you take a natural chibur and you break it down, and that's dumya to what they did in the Mishkan. But if I have something that was then artificially put together, and then it used to be a part, that's what artificially put together means. It used to be, it was small pieces. Human beings artificially put it together, and then to pull it apart, that's not called tochen, that's the chiddush of the smag. That's too unlike what they did in the Mishkan. And the Uraim disagrees. So what does it matter? What does it matter? A synthetic, I'm breaking down a natural chibur, breaking down a synthetic chibur, it's all the same thing. So how do we paskin? So number one, a point about the truth. So again, we have three approaches to this question of the breaking down the lechem. Either it's mutter, the Chuvas Rashba says, because it's tochen la'alter, or it's mutter because there's no tchina by bread, because it ain't tochen achar tochen, or it's taka aser. Again, so the obvious nafkamim between the Rashba and the smag is if I want to be mefarer the lecha, I have to feed the chickens first thing in the morning. I have to run to, I'm Baruch Hashem, I'm going to run to Simcha, the other side of town. I have to leave the house extra early, so I don't want to spend time tomorrow morning. I forgot to set the alarm earlier. I don't have time in the morning to be mefarer the lechem. So I'll be mefarer the lechem the night before I go to sleep, Friday night, and then I'll feed the chickens. According to Rashba, chalilu v'chas, that's not lialter. According to the smag, what's the problem? It's not tchina at all. Ain't token after token, or if I cared, if I'm breaking something down, if I'm gonna dice vegetables for immediate use, I'm gonna make an Israeli salad right before the Suda. The Rashba says hetzer gamer, it's token lealter is mutter, and the smug says ooh, chalila that could be chil Shabbos daraisa. Chopping a cucumber, that's a natural chibur that you're breaking down. It's not tochen achatochen, it's going to be a problem. Now, it should be noted, by the way, that if you look in the Chuvas Rashba and saw it, something very fascinating, the Shoel. Sometimes you don't even pay attention to the Meshav, but sometimes you have a Shaila and Chuva where the Shaila is very brief. Sometimes you have a Shaila and Chuva where the Shoel himself gave a whole shtickle Torah. You have to figure out how much of it is accepted by the Meshav, how much not. So that anyhow, the Shoel in the Rashba already raises this issue of the altar, and the Rashba says absolutely the altar is mutter. The Shoel mentions that this might be the position of the Rambam as well, because of that mysterious Levashel the Rambam has. It's you're doing the Tochen Levashel, that's why it's a problem. So what does Levashel mean? What does Levashel mean? So as with the Tosas and Ayin Dalet, it's an ambiguous phrase that could lend itself to mean one of several things. Maybe Levashel means this is necessary for it to be edible. Maybe. The Shoel in the Rashba says Levashel means not lealter. That's what he thinks it means. Now again, the Rashba does not see, I don't think the Rashba mentions that in his response. He does say lealter is mutter, he does not He does not mention that. Maybe he didn't think that was such a convincing read in the Rambam. I'm not sure. But it's an interesting point. The halacha lamasa, the Ramah quotes this conversation in Sif Yud Beis. He says, he presents the smag first. He says to chop fruits, to chop vegetables, that's the problem. Lafar lecha v'antar golem, since it's kvar nitchan ein lachosh, ein tochen achat tochen. The smag. The smag quoted by many later Rishonim, the Ran, the Mordechai, Hagos, Maimi, and so forth. And then the Ramah goes on to give the other heter also. He says it's only, the whole discussion, even when you're chopping fruits and vegetables, is only chotech v'meniach. But it's la'achl miyad ha'kol shari midav yabor. Lechal miyad deshari, like in Shin Yotes, we discussed the halachas of Bora. So the Ramah quotes both, but the Nosei Kelim are not so excited. The Magen Avraham already says, Avraham says there's a beautiful and lengthy Shilta Giborim on the side of the Rif, on the side of the Ran, and the Shilta Giborim tell you that the Ran quotes both the Rashba and the Smag approvingly. Shilta Giborim is a lot to say. It's kedai to hold sheet and go outside. And he's not so convinced by the Rashba. He thinks, number one, he thinks, if you understand the lumdas of Borer Alter just isn't Borer. For immediate use, you're not creating sets of organized things, you're just using things. Okay, you have to work that out. But by Tochein, it's still Tochein. Now again, it may well be that the Rush would disagree with that point. No, that's exactly what the Rush had said. Ochel, doc, you're just eating. It could be that the Rashba would accept the Rush's svara somewhat. If it's derech achila, your mom is doing it almost and immediately eating it, so that's mutter. Okay, or some svara of that sort. Although the Rashba clearly is matir even to be Tochein for someone else to eat, because after all, he talks about feeding the chickens. The human beings, powder is breaking down for the chickens. But again, the Shilta Giborim's first attack is la'alter, undoes the whole notion of bor, does not undo the whole notion of tochen, which again, one could definitely push back. And then his other kash on the Rashba is mechetesi. How can you be madam on our own? The Gemara said it by Bor says who? Again, the Rashba might respond to that too. So the Beis Yosef already is concerned, lahalacha, and then the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, to reflect the Beis Yosef's hesitancy about the kula of the Rashba. At first they say, well, maybe hedge your bets a little bit, so you should make it, don't dice it, make it a little bit larger, so... So that seems to be the consensus of Poskim, is that we're not... I think usually we would not advise relying on the Rashba alone. If you have the Rashba plus the additional tzedakim l'hakel, then we might be more comfortable with that. But definitely, it seems at the same time, if one's going to do that, yeshal mila smoke. I should note, though, that the poskim do seem to say that Mishnah Berurah says, if there are people who do dice the iron mitzibul, making eggs with onions, they're dicing the onions right before the Suda. Okay, the Rashba is Bar Samcha, they rely on the Rashba, we're not thrilled about the Rashba, but if other people rely on the Rashba, we're not going to give them a hard time about it. But he stresses, obviously, you have to have the real La'alter, because if it's not, if it's several hours before, you're really playing with fire, because we Paskin like Tosis and Kuf Yudalad and the Rambam, that against the Rush, against Rashi, that chotech dach is a real melacha daraisa. So you really got to be careful. Okay, the post can do point that even if you rely on the Rashba, it seems like it's only when you're doing it with a knife as opposed to actually milling or powdering. It doesn't seem like anyone is mako. The post can seem to assume that even the Rashba only meant that when it's chaticha, derech sakin. And that brings us back. I know some chevra were very excited over the course of afternoon Seder of the week to think about the Rama gets to always think about avos and toldos. But to think about, you know, what's the av and what's the told. The Rama seems to say that there are two different ways for it to be a tolda rather than an av. It sounds like one way to be a tolda is that you're dealing with a non-ochel. And you're shaf lashon shal matachas. You're making sawdust, or you're powder. Sounds like that means powdering metal, unless shuf means making filing. That's a tolda. Presumably, it's a tolda because it's not a food item. So it's still, you still are breaking down a larger item into smaller bits, but because it's not an ochel, and particularly in the framework of sidur depas, not an ochel. So it will be a malacha, but it won't be an av. It'll be a tolda. The other way in which it could be a tolda instead of an av sounds like is if you're not actually powdering, and rather you're just chotech dak dak. He says that's a tolda. I mean, you are still taking something large and making it significantly smaller, but as the Magid Mishnah written in Perek Zayin, the difference between av and a tolda is that av means it's exactly, the outcome is exactly what they had in the Mishkan, and a tolda means it's similar but not the same. So I think you put the two pieces together, it means that the outcome of the Mishkan, sounds like, was they created edible powder. They turned large chunks to edible powder. So if it's edible powder, then that's an av. But if it's either inedible powder, or it's edible dices, or how are you say, small pieces, I'm not sure what the term is, edible teeny bits, but not powder, so it's similar in the totsa'a, but not identical, so that's going to be a tolda. And a nafkamina sounds like here, the kula of the Rashba, the poskim seem to assume, even except the kula of the altar, sounds like poskim say it's only if it's if you're chopping the altar, but if your mom is powdering the altar, not. There's plenty more to talk about. We haven't touched yet on the discussion earlier in Shulchan Aruch about doing a tchina derech gerera. I say tchina derech shinoi. That's a big issue. Another thing we haven't spoken about is mashing bananas, mashing avocado into guacamole. If you're making a paste rather than making pieces, a number of issues that we still have to discuss in Tochen. But at least I think the four approaches in Rishonim to Ein Dalet versus Kuf Yud Dalet, and the three approaches in Rishonim to how you feed your chickens on Shabbos morning, I think already bring together a number of the key issues, and we will continue this coming week.